It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yes, it is. Up next, I have my weekly chat with Green Party co-leader James Shaw. We began our talk today by chatting about the Homes for All plan that was announced yesterday by Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson. The Homes for All plan is a housing package which aims to improve the quality of our homes, make them more affordable, and improve our relationships with landlords. I began by asking James about the plan's promise to end New Zealand's long wait list for housing within 5 years. Currently in New Zealand, there are tens of thousands of people on the wait list for a home. The Greens plan to clear this waiting list within 5 years. What steps does the Home for All plan lay out to achieve this?
Well, it's a very broad-ranging plan, but the intention of the piece around the waiting list is to basically build 5,000 additional state homes a year. We would like to go faster than that, but the advice that we got from people that we know in the construction centre and some of the economic research analysts that we were talking to said that that's probably about the upper limit of what we can do at the moment. And if we can do that, then we will clear that waiting list in about 5 years' time. Now, that's not the only part of the plan. There is obviously a very important role for public housing here, and the government has actually been really ramping that up over the past few years. But significantly, we want to expand the community sector. So that is, there are some amazing developments going on around the country, but it's not really at scale. And so a significant portion of the plan is devoted to helping the community housing providers to scale up.
So another part of the plan is to stimulate a non-profit rental sector. When you say non-profit, what does that mean for landlords?
Well, when I was living in the UK, I came across that there's a number of really large, you might call them social enterprises or charity organisations over there that have hundreds of thousands of homes in their stock. So organisations like the Peabody Trust and others, which have been around for donkey's years. And they are very big players in the provision of housing for low-income families alongside councils and the government. And in New Zealand, we've got some of that. So when we launched the policy yesterday, we did that at a development of around, I think it's about 290 houses that have been built by the Housing Foundation in South Auckland. And we want to see much more of that. And so what we're looking at doing is saying, well, how do we help those organisations by underwriting them and supporting them to supplement the public housing build?
One thing I found surprising about this plan was the pledge to introduce a rental warrant of fitness, as I perhaps naively assumed there already would be one. Is there anything similar to that now? And what criteria for passing this warrant, what would the criteria for passing it be?
Yeah, so there is a version of it that our government put into place over the course of the last 3 years. It's called the Healthy Homes Standard. But in our view, it's not actually, you know, quite up to scratch. So, for example, the current standard says that, you need to have heating to 18 degrees in the main living room, but you don't need to have it in the bedroom. And of course, we have thousands of people, particularly children, getting admitted to hospital with respiratory illnesses every year. And part of that is because the bedrooms that they are sleeping in are cold and damp. So the idea behind the rental warrant of fitness is that it would be a compulsory standard. It would extend that, you know, that kind of thermal performance to the rest of the house, and in particular the bedrooms. And the idea is that over time, as a landlord, you would need to have a warrant of fitness for the house that you rent out. And landlords have been very resistant to this because they say that it would increase costs. But of course, the cost of not having it increases costs to the families who have to live in cold, damp homes, and ultimately to the taxpayer who has to pay for, medical bills for people who are hospitalised. And so our view is well, look, you know, you need, if you're going to rent a car to someone, that's got to have a warrant of fitness, and you have to be licensed as an operator to rent it. The same should go for housing, because actually in New Zealand, some of our housing is actually lethal.
Another part of this plan is expanding the already existing Warmer Kiwi Homes program. Warmer Kiwi Homes is the four-year government program offering grants covering up to 90% of the cost of insulation and heating for low-income homeowners. It was launched in 2018. So has anything been learnt that means there'll be any changes to the plan now it's part of Homes for All?
Yeah, look, it's a really good program, and I think the thing that we've learned is that we need to scale it up, and that's what our policy proposes, which is that it is oriented at particular areas of need. We want to extend those for a couple of years using some of the money that's been set aside in the COVID Response and Recovery Fund. And the reason for that is that it's actually quite jobs intensive to go and retrofit and insulate homes. And so it would be a really good use of the COVID stimulus money to go say, look, you know, there are some additional families in New Zealand who are at risk in terms of the housing that they're in. Let's get in there and help out.
Let's move now to rent reforms. The Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill was passed, which the Greens have celebrated. What would you say are the most important parts of the bill that will create the needed change for the New Zealand renter?
I think that so in the, I mean, the Residential Tenancies Act covers a lot of different aspects, but I think that probably the most significant thing is the idea that rents can only go up once a year, you know, because we've got this very compressed housing market. There isn't enough supply on the market, and it does mean that landlords have been able to take advantage of a highly deregulated market in a really, frankly, quite crisis situation to exploit the tenants. And you've seen rents go up very frequently and often by very unreasonable amounts, and so we're putting a stop to that in this bill.
The Green Party social development spokesperson Jan Logie was particularly pleased with what this bill means for victims of family violence. How does this bill ease the struggle of leaving dangerous situations for victims of such violence?
Yeah, so that was a clause that we got in fairly late in the piece, which said, actually, you know what, people who are in a situation where they're confronted by domestic or sexual violence need to be able to get out of that situation as fast as possible. And previously, you know, if those people have been on the lease, they haven't been able to break that lease to get out of the situation that they're in with sufficient, you know, they've had to kind of, have notice periods and so on. And so what we're saying is, but in that situation, actually, the most important thing is the safety of the woman involved. So let's make sure that they are actually able to terminate that lease and get out of the situation that they're in.
Let's move now to the low emissions for heavy transport. We're one step closer to getting low-emission heavy transport on the road thanks to an investment in infrastructure to support hydrogen vehicles. Why hydrogen? What does hydrogen have to offer?
Well, the difficulty that you've got with electric vehicles is that the vehicles have to be quite light at the situation. So EVs work really well for the family car, because it's a small vehicle and they do reasonably short distances. Most people travel only a few kilometres to work every day. When it comes to trucking and to freight or to buses, especially intercity buses, batteries at the moment just don't cut it because they've got to haul a heavy load over very long distances. However, hydrogen works fantastically, you know, you can have refueling stations at the points where the bus or the truck is travelling from and to, because the vast majority of freight movements take place on preset routes, unlike private vehicles where you could be driving them all over the place. And so what we're doing is we're, as part of the infrastructure investment that we're making to help keep the economy moving, have said that one of the things that we need to pay attention to is not just helping, you know, homeowners to switch their home vehicles, but we've actually got to get a, you know, get our freight movements to renewable energy as well. And what that means is basically either hydrogen or biofuels. And so what we're saying is, well, look, we've got a company in New Zealand that is on the verge of making a breakthrough in terms of the hydrogen refueling network. Let's make sure that it gets built quickly.
Are there any negative implications from the use of hydrogen in terms of emissions?
Well, it depends how the hydrogen is produced. So what we've said in New Zealand is that we want to make sure it is actually green hydrogen. There is another form of hydrogen that's produced using, for example, fossil gas. But in New Zealand, the move here is towards green hydrogen. And the company that's installing this refueling network have got other projects around the country to create the hydrogen from renewable sources.
So the Infrastructure Reference Group has provisionally approved $20 million to establish a nationwide network of hydrogen fueling stations. Keyword being provisionally, what else needs to happen before we see these vehicles on the road?
Well, the reason why they say provisionally is because we simply have to go through a process of due diligence, working through with the company, you know, the specific of how it's going to work and so on. But the fact that we've made the announcement and said that we're keen to get it going should give investors the confidence to and work alongside us and the company to make sure that it gets built. I think that, you know, we could have the first long-distance freight trucks on hydrogen probably within 2 to 3 years.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.